This is a Christian Science extemporaneous prayer treatment. The website is mbeinstitute.org. There are various buttons at the bottom of every page which enable one to find out information about the Institute and the website. There is also a very extensive menu in the top left corner of every page, and the header, which is the top section of every page, includes a variety of links to some of the most popular pages on the website. The title to this Mary Baker Eddy Institute extemporaneous prayer treatment is Communication, Success Dependent. What is meant by communication? In regard to this treatment, it specifically means interaction between two or more entities, laws, rules, or individuals. By interaction with laws or rules or events, what is meant that if one is in alignment with the purpose of an event or the laws and rules about any topic, then the benefit of those laws and rules will be gained. If the interaction is with one or more other individuals, it means that there will be mutual satisfaction with the communication. In other words, communication is on a spiritual level where everyone must benefit or be in alignment with wholesome events, laws, or rules. Everything must be harmonious to be the true type of communication that spirit, the only substance, requires. As with every aspect of life in a visible form, evil is always lurking with its deceitful decoy related operation. Therefore, it might indicate that communication could be unilateral. But that is not communication. Communication demands interaction or benefits because something is true that one is in alignment with, as previously indicated. When one conducts a prayer treatment, the entire prayer treatment is communication. And if it's on a spiritual level, then it will be communicating with the facts about God, the facts about man, which of course are included in the facts about God. It will also include communication with the four operators of divine metaphysics, Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And it will communicate with the four levels of divine metaphysics, three of which are mortal mind, and the highest level is immortal mind. Those are specified on page 115 and 116 of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The four operators are included in chapter 16 of the textbook, which is on the book of Revelation, otherwise known as the Apocalypse. That was written by John, but it was really a result of the dictation of Jesus to John when John was on the island of Patmos. Jesus actually came back after his ascension and communicated directly with John. That is all explained on our website under the author, Dr. Robert C. Putnam. He was a doctorate of chemistry, but a lifelong student of Christian Science. And he wrote a wonderful book called 10 Bible Lessons, which covers the entire Old Testament, New Testament, and the Second Coming of Christ. He is probably one of the finest Bible scholars next to Mary Baker Eddy. He was taught by Bliss Knapp, and Bliss Knapp, from about the age of 6 or 7, he was under the tutelage of Mary Baker Eddy because he had lost his mother, and his father was one of the early students of Mary Baker Eddy and served as a lecturer, traveled around the U.S. back in the 1880s when transportation was not easy. So Mary Baker Eddy took over the responsibility of raising the son because the mother had passed on as a result of a tragic accident. If one studies the proper way on how to read a book, the classic is by Mortimer Adler, written in 1940, and he was a longtime chief editor of Encyclopedia Britannica, so he was considered the authority. In the book, he states that it's very important to look at any introductory quotes, the table of contents, and any introductory quotes to each and every chapter, and any topics or subtopics that are listed, and let those clues be a guide to how and what one should be focused. Mary Baker Eddy structured Science and Health, the textbook, very expertly and thoroughly. She has 3 introductory quotes to the textbook immediately after the title pages. She has introductory quotes as at the beginning of each chapter, and she has topic titles throughout the textbook. Some pages have as many as 4 or 5. And if one misses these clues, they will get much less out of the text than if they pay attention to them. So at the beginning of the textbook, there are 3 introductory quotes. The first one are the words of Jesus, and it states, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second one is from Shakespeare, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one, from Mary Baker G. Eddy, she later dropped the G, which represented the name Glover, to shorten her signature. "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." Everyone involved in a communication has a direct impact on the result if they just pay attention to the truth that is espoused in these 3 quotes. We want to always be navigating in truth. We want to realize that what we put into consciousness is going to be our experience. And if we do number 1 and number 2 correctly, then number 3, we will have positive results. The formula is simple. The thing that's important is to get self out of the way. Self can be expressed in many different faces. But the way we eradicate it is to go right to the root. Dig it out by the root. Do not leave even a small morsel of it in consciousness. It has to be a clean sweep. How is that done? Mary Baker Eddy tells us. We find the error, shine the light on it, and what is the light? That goes back to quote number one, the truth. We reverse the error by declaring the truth that is the antipode that goes right to the heart of the error. Mr. Rawson says, say a very simple sentence. There is no, and then you put the name of the problem. And the rest of the time in your prayer treatment, you devote to filling your thought with the truth about God, which includes man and all of the universe, that is directly the antipode to what the evil is. Making sure that you are on the right level, having your aperture open enough so that you can see the big picture that is affecting the little black dot. A professor went to his college class and hung up a big white sheet with a little black dot in the middle. He said, what do you see? They all saw the big sheet. He said, look carefully. Then they saw the black dot. He said, oh, I know. We know what you want us to focus on, the black dot. He said, no. He says, you have to take care of solving the problem, which is the little black dot, but it is minuscule compared to the big picture. So always keep it into perspective with the big picture. God is the big picture, which is infinite. The little black dot is an attempt of evil to get into the realm of God. We can't let it happen. We have to find the truth that is exactly the opposite of what the evil is and declare it. Declare that it applies to us and anyone that has the same problem. That's opening up to all humanity, so that all humanity can benefit from the thought that we apply to the problem that we're facing individually. Frederick L. Rawson was a genius of a Christian Scientist. He wrote a book entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And he has a chapter there included which is entitled Applied Treatment. And there are 1,315 different items of evil, error, mortal mind, suggestions that are covered. I'm sure whatever problem that you think you have, you could find the solution. It's all alphabetized on our website. You could find the solution that is the exact antipode to what the problem is, the truth. So you would make a statement very short that says there is no, and you name the problem, and then you spend the rest of the time explaining why. The truth about such and such is, and then elaborate on what he tells you. You can't just repeat words, you have to understand what you're saying. We have a button on our website up in the header that says Heal Everything. If you click on it, it will give you all of the information you need and the procedure on how to proceed to be able to heal any problem that you have. It's not a matter of just saying words. You have to elevate your entire realm of thinking, speaking, and acting. And most of your speaking is going to be to your own consciousness, ridding out the evil and replacing it with the truth. Remembering what Shakespeare says, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What is the realm in which you're going to be doing your thinking? Are you going to follow Christ Jesus? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free? Or are you going to wallow around in evil and trying to improve it? You cannot improve 6 times 4 equals 11, or 9, or 9.9, or 10.1. You have to get rid of it totally and replace it with 4 plus 6 equals 10. You can't fiddle around trying to improve evil. You have to replace it with the truth. No matter what the problem is, the procedure is the same. And as it is well explained on the website, the procedure includes that you have to realize that following the path that you're on is not giving you fulfillment in your life. And you're probably an individual that is based on taking instead of giving, because that's human nature. The suggestion is that we're all born a sinner, because that's following what it says in Genesis chapter 2 about Adam and Eve. But the truth is, the spiritual creation is Genesis chapter 1. And it says that God made man in his image and likeness. And then it says that everything that God made is good. And on page 587 in the textbook, the definition of good is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And omnipresence means it's everywhere. And what is everywhere? God. The goodness of God. The power of God. The action of God. And omniscience includes omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. That means, as God's image and likeness, as it states in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, through to the end of verse 31, says God made man in his image and likeness and gave man dominion over everything on the earth, even the fowl in the air and everything beneath, everything in the waters, everything that creepeth upon the earth. God gave man dominion. Very important words here. The entire vocabulary can be broken down into the 15 root notions of the 7 synonymous terms for God, which are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. The 4 operators, which are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And the 4 levels, which are 3 of mortal mind and 1 of immortal mind. We have everything on the website. Very extensive menu. We have very important links at the bottom in the footer, and very important links in the header, which is up at the top. And we have a button that says daily, and if you click on it, it will open and give you a selection of 3 or 4 more things that are directly related just with the word day or daily. Highly recommend it. Mary Baker Eddy gave her class or the students that were living with her, and the class, 39 things that they should study every day. We call it the household 39. No, as a matter of fact, she did not give that to her metaphysical college. She gave that only to the people that were living in her home. And they had to know how to handle electricity and the weather. A longtime practitioner that I was friends with for some 20 years or more before she went on to more spiritual venues told me that pay attention to body language. Not just the words, but how they act. If they say one thing and do something else, they're being tricked and letting mortal mind utilize their mouth. We have to utilize all of our senses to be most effective. Seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. That's why it's so important when you study to have a recording device and record everything you read. And after you read it and record it, contemplate it. What does it mean to you? And then rewrite it in your own words. So if you're studying a sentence or a paragraph, rewrite the whole paragraph in your own words and record it as you're doing it. And listen to both the original and the one that has your individual understanding of what it's telling you. What senses are you using when you do this? Well, you're using the vision because you're reading. You're using the mental because you're thinking. You're using the hearing, your voice. You have to contemplate and get a sense of what it's telling you. The more senses that you utilize, the more effective it's going to be for learning and remembering. It seems like some people have a resistance to recording it. They say, well, I don't want to hear myself talk. No one can do this for you. We're telling you a formula that will work. A procedure that has been proven to work. If you doubt about whether or not Christian Science heals, read pages 600 to 700 in the textbook. Those are 85 testimonies on 486 different healings by those 85 people. All they studied, although they don't say it, would be the Bible and science and health. They all say that it was science and health, but some of them probably use the Bible, even though they're not mentioning it. The emphasis is on how effective science and health can be. And Mary Baker Eddy wanted a permanent record that was publicly distributed about what I just mentioned. It is always a valid idea to review important definitions, and the standard is the definition of God on page 465, the definition of God and good, both, on page 587, the definition of man on page 591. The glossary is full of great definitions, wonderful, effective definitions to help us understand. The Lord's Prayer. You cannot go wrong by understanding that, memorizing it with the spiritual interpretation, and reciting it often. There's a section that is on the Diapason of Heaven prayers that Mary Baker Eddy gave us, or she distributed to the ones attending her final class in 1898, 126 years ago, 127. I guess it's 126. Anyway, there's seven of them, one for each of the seven synonymous terms. Mary Baker Eddy says, as a part of the prayer, declare this often, or repeat this. One can also utilize the scientific statement of being by substituting the word matter with the problem that they're facing. The original reads, there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. So you can say, there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in whatever the problem is. Substitute the word. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Substitute the word throughout the scientific statement of being, which is on page 468 of the textbook. I would always recommend reading the introductory quote to the individual chapter, and definitely the topic titles. Depending on the book you have, it could be on the side or it could be at the top of the paragraph. But she has a topic title on every thought that is covered in that particular paragraph or partial page or whatever it is. Hearing is equated with understanding. If you look it up in a good dictionary, and we highly recommend the Noah Webster 1828. He was the first one that produced a dictionary, a thorough, comprehensive one, that covers the American English language. I would never be without it. If you use a computer, I would buy the software and also buy the published book. It's a large book, but it's only like $50. There is much more to learn from listening than there is by talking. We must get rid of the, quote, human self-will and replace it with reflecting the divine will, which is the will of God, which is expressed in God's laws and rules, the definition of God. We also, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, went through the textbook and made and underlined every word of one particular that would be one particular seminar. So they have seven books they created from underlining each of the seven. So they have a one book that just shows the underlines for mind. This is capitalized, which meaning God. Another one for spirit and soul and principle. If you want to really get a thorough understanding of what any one of the synonyms mean, you should look at those underlined words. You should look at the PDF that shows them all in a nice, neat list and a number of opposites related to the positive. And the book, Your Divinity Revealed, Chapters 4 is on the word mind, chapter 5 is on soul, and so forth. Each one covering that synonymous term that applies to God. All of the tools that you need are on the website. Right now, it's free to personal users. It is forbidden to be used by any commercial interests that are trying to download it free and sell it, because that's stealing. The most important key to remember about any study: one cannot study in isolation. We have to have a standard, and our goal is to not deviate from that standard. Christian Science is based on a standard which is clearly defined throughout the entire textbook. The glossary gives us many very key points. Chapter 14 gives us 24 questions and answers. And that is a summary of chapters 1 through 13. The 32 planks, which are from page 330 to 340, gives us 32 topics, which are the sum and substance of Christian Science. On page 146, Mary Baker Eddy states that divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system. We teach the system in all of these prayer treatments. As noted already in this prayer treatment, it comprises the 7 synonymous terms, the 4 operators, and the 4 levels. And everything can be classified either as part of the letter or the spirit. And Mary Baker Eddy states that we must have both the letter and the spirit in order to be able to demonstrate divine metaphysics. We must be in partnership with the facts about God, which includes the facts about man, and realize that the only thing that really exists is God, which includes His manifestation. So we should be working in partnership with these facts. We are not in the business of making up a theory, but understanding the facts which have already been proven by Christ Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, and other experts of Christian Science that we refer to and our authors listed on our website. In other words, we must be working in partnership with the truth, as the very first quote indicates at the beginning of the textbook. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Vladimir Ashkenazi has been deemed as one of, if not the finest pianist that ever existed. And during one of his concerts, he had a question and answer period, and he was asked how could he maintain such a level of perfection in performance after performance. What do you think his answer was? It was very short and very direct. He said, I practice, practice, practice until the music plays me. He took no credit for the performance. His task was to get self out of the way and play the music the way it was intended to be played. And the only way he could do that is to continue to practice until the music flowed from his fingers directly from the composer. He was so in tune with the composer that the music came forth automatically. No effort on his part. If you listen to his music, you will notice that he talks during his performance. And he'll say, listen carefully, because now there will be a trickling of a water stream, like a river. He has such a mastery of what the composer intended that he can talk while he's performing. And it's like he's not involved at all. He's like a commentator, as the fingers are playing independent of his own personality. And he's only a commentator to indicate what is coming next. That's what we should be doing with our total life. The son of a lady that founded a Christian Science organization indicated that we should think of our body, our physical body, as being our servant, to go here and do this and go there and do that, or if we're at home, whatever we're doing, or at the office. And we tell it what to do and utilize its subservient nature to the mind that is instructing it. And we want to make sure that is the one and only real mind, which is the infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind. The same one that is on page 587 that says that God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. The mind of God is the only mind that we must be listening to, and we must know there is only one. For everything about God, every element of God, is utilized with the word omni, O-M-N-I, omni. And omni means one, only, and all. There is no other. And if we have any problem, the first thing we have to check is to make sure we're not thinking that there are two minds. A personal mind that we have in a frame called a cranium, and it's titled a brain. And one that is invisible, that is not composed of matter, but of spirit, the only real substance. We must practice and practice and practice until only the real spiritual mind is the one operating, and that's the one we are letting lead us do whatever we need to do. Frederick L. Rawson says we should be able to do everything mentally. One of, if not the greatest, musical conductors of all time. If you listen to the orchestra that he is conducting versus someone else conducting that very same orchestra, it sounds like two different orchestras, even if they're playing the exact same composition. They could be in the exact same facility at the exact same time of the day with the exact same weather and any other thing that may be having an influence on sound, and you will see a significant difference. Not only is maybe the regular conductor of the orchestra utilizing a wand and moving his arms around and looking at various sections in the orchestra, and the facial expressions are very noticeable, but if you compare that to the one that is considered one of, or maybe the finest in the world, he has no wand. He does not move any part of his body while he is conducting, and that includes the beginning all the way through to the end of a particular composition. Any composition. Everything is a mental connection between the conductor and each individual musician. They know when to begin or stop and what to do in between, all the way through the composition. Because he is telegraphing it mentally. Total mental operation. And since the result is so perfect, you know that it is the infinite mind that he is listening to when he's making every one of those telegraphic impulses in the thought of each and every one in the orchestra. I so much have a desire to be able to have a video of his work and examples of his conducting. But I learned about this a long time ago, and somehow I'm not able to locate it. And I don't recall offhand his name. But that's what we need to be doing in everything we can, in everything we conduct in our lives. We need to be on the spiritual level of consciousness in everything we think, say, and do. And if we do that, we're going to automatically be benefiting everyone that is receptive to the truth. And they must be receptive to the truth. Jesus had a difficult time in healing in Galilee because they were not receptive to Jesus being a special messenger of God. They looked upon him as being a carpenter. Even though someone may not recognize who he is, he knows what he represents. He knows what God is. He knows what man is. He knows that man is the image and likeness of God because he utilizes it in every healing in which he's involved. Because he must see every individual that he heals before they are healed, that they're perfect, that they are the perfect image and likeness of God. And that level of consciousness is what enables him to bring forth the perfection so that everyone can witness their true nature. The true nature of the individual that was healed. They can no longer see him as being someone with a problem. Because the works of Jesus were so thorough and complete that it changed the consciousness of everyone that was observing the individual. That's one reason why experienced practitioners, if they visit a patient, that they try to keep the audience that can see what's going on to a bare minimum. Because he doesn't want to have their thought projected on the individual while this transformation is taking place. The fewer people that are involved in observing, the easier it is to penetrate through the belief of mortal mind having control over the patient. The only thing that has to be transformed is the consciousness of those that are involved. The duty of the practitioner, and it doesn't matter whether there is someone else involved or not. We can be our own practitioner, which is what's highly recommended and what we, the purpose of the tools that we make available is so everyone can become independent and not be dependent upon another individual for anything. But for each one to learn what needs to be learned and understood in order to be living as the image and likeness of God. As Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 states. But the first thing it says is that let us make man in the image and likeness of God. And then it says, so God made man in his image and likeness. We have to open our thought to the truth. And once we do that, then we can reflect our true nature as the image and likeness of God. Our only source, the only source that exists of anyone or anything. The Bible says, I am that I am. I am not an I am. You are not an I am. The only one is God. That's what Moses had to learn. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He looked upon that entire bit of text being all one unified commandment. In other words, we cannot love God, which is invisible, unless we are loving our brethren, which is visible. So we have to start with what is visible. We have to start with being appreciative of the true nature of everything that reflects God. Mary Baker Eddy reminded herself every hour by prayer for that exact purpose, is to make sure she was seeing everyone and everything in her experience every hour as seeing them in the true nature as described in Genesis chapter 1. And that she saw God as being in charge of everything as stated on page 465 and 587. And on 587, the definition of God and the definition of good and the definition of man on page 591. Because Genesis verse 26 says that God made man to have dominion over all the earth, everything above and everything below, including the birds. He says the fowl of the air, A-I-R. Everything that flies and everything that crawls and everything in between and all the fish, everything, including the bushes and the shrubs and the fruit trees and the berries, everything. God gave man dominion over all the earth. And not only that, he says, be fruitful and multiply. What should we be multiplying? A human that comes out of a woman's womb? Or the spiritual ideas of God? Should we be trying to multiply something that is composed of so-called matter? Or should we be like a beacon in a lighthouse, letting our light shine, which is shining forth the ideas of God? Should we be like the conductor? Should we be a lighthouse? That's our whole purpose. And what happens when we do that? Mr. Rosin says that we should have a goal, our sole purpose, on being on planet Earth, is to make other people happy. That means we must have a life of giving, not taking, not living in a fear that we're going to run out of something because it's limited in quantity, but that we are dealing with spirit that is infinite, that has no quantity, that is finite. How many sevens are there in the world of mathematics? Or tens, or ones, or 13s, or 86 quadrillion. The answer is infinite. Everyone can use the number 7 at the same time. Everyone. And they can multiply it and use that number. Or they can cube it, or take it to the power of infinity. If you divide the number 1 by the number 3, you come up with a decimal that is 0.333 ad infinitum. How many 3s are there? How many do you want to think about? It's depending upon your own thought. That is the only limitation in your perception, in your life, is your own thought. How much finiteness do you want to let occupy your thought? Are you going to be on a basis of matter or spirit? If you want success in Christian Science, it depends on the purity of your communication with the infinite. Mary Baker Eddy says, infinite progression is concrete being. Success depends in anything we're involved in. Depends on having an infinite perspective as opposed to having a limited one. If we want to operate in isolation, then we're doomed for failure. If we want to work with God, which is infinite, and His idea, which includes man, then we are in the realm of infinity. Infinite progression is concrete being. So we are in the path of concrete being. Einstein stated about science and health and Mary Baker Eddy, he said, "Blessed art thou," referring to Mary Baker Eddy, "because everything that is in this book," referring to Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Everything that is in this book. Mary Baker Eddy said that the textbook includes a complete statement of Christian Science, or the complete statement of the system of divine metaphysics. But when she composed the book called Christ and Christmas, she included 11 illustrations that had symbolisms that had very comprehensive meaning, translation, interpretation. But there's one more illustration that everyone seems to ignore, and that is number 12. And that is blank, leaving it open for future development, future understanding, future interpretation or translation. The truth is already stated, but as she stated, the system of divine metaphysics is so vast that there's no way to define it in words. Because words, by definition, are finite. Even the word infinite, how can one describe it, other than using other finite terms? Like there's no limit, or it's unlimited. It's without beginning or end. It's without any dimension of size. Because it's beyond everything that is finite. So you cannot even define the infinite. When people thought planet Earth was flat, and then when it was discovered it was not flat, boy, anyone that brings forth a truth that was not previously revealed or understood takes a bad beating from so-called mortal mind. Because mortal mind cannot comprehend something that it does not understand. And it doesn't understand something unless it is beat into consciousness time and time and time and time again. It does not want to accept anything new. It does not want to accept that it made a mistake. That's why Mary Baker Eddy says understanding life is difficult, because the falsity of life has been compounded time and time again, compounded forever with mistakes. Frederick L. Rosen says that in England, and he was a resident of England, he said they used to teach that there is no time. But they stopped doing it. They were telling too much of the truth. So they went back to what everyone else was doing and teaching that there is time, which is limitation, which is finite. Is there time? Is there anything that can be measured in finite terms? The word moment cannot be measured. The word that describes moment is the smallest amount of time. But you can't divide it because it's already the smallest. You can multiply it, you can add it, you can cube it, you can put an exponential of infinity on there. But you can't divide it. If one wants to take all day and say, okay, this is my moment. I worked this moment on this project. They can't divide it. If they say I worked 3 hours, 180 minutes, or if they spent, say I spent 1,440 minutes, which is 24 hours, then they can divide it. It's like two people that were going to dance, and they were both standing on the dance floor, not touching each other. And one of them says to the other, okay, now, come one step closer. So they divide the distance between them in two and advance that amount of space. And then they decide they're going to divide that distance by two. So they cut it in half. They can keep cutting it in half forever. And based on that, they would never be able to touch, so that they could embrace each other and dance. Everything is perception. And that's exactly what vision is. It is perception. We need to be able to perceive the difference between one thing and another. And in the perspective of spirit, we need to be able to separate truth from error. Mind that is immortal from mind that is supposedly mortal, which is an oxymoron, because mind can't be both mortal and immortal because they're opposites. The same with soul. Soul is defined as spiritual sense, because spirit is defined as the only substance. So therefore, the substance of soul has to be spiritual. The same with principle. It has to be of the substance of spirit. And spirit, of course, is flawless, transparent, reflective. So that means principle is flawless, transparent, and reflective, because it's of the substance of spirit. So everything works in one grand network. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love work with each other. So you can say the intelligence of mind is what I use in order to determine that spirit is spiritual and the only substance, instead of material and finite and limited, whereas spirit is infinite, because mind is infinite. So the intelligence and infinitude of mind, when referring to substance, means that substance is infinite. So soul has to be spiritual sense, and therefore we should be able to determine in seeing with our spiritual vision, enlightens us to the infinite nature of being able to tell the difference between right and wrong, spirit and matter, principle and chaos, life and death, truth and error, love and hate. Because those are opposites. So we must be able to tell the difference between them, or we're going to be like the gentleman that Jesus healed of blindness. We're going to be blind. In fact, Einstein says that religion without science is blind, and that science without religion is lame. Hence, Christian Science is the answer, because it is both science and the greatest religion of all, which is Christianity. Why is Christianity the greatest religion of all? Because it is the only religion that, if studied and understood, can heal anything that is a problem, anything that is out of alignment with the truth, anything that is not the nature of God. It can bring harmony where there otherwise has been imbalance and discord. It can bring life where there was death, truth where there was error. In other words, it was being perceived incorrectly. Because that's the only thing that changes when we change error and transform into truth. It replaces the mistake with the truth. If we say 3 plus 7 equals 10, that's the truth. If we say 3 plus 7 is 11 or 9 or 9.9 or 10.1, that's a lie. That's a mistake. That's an error. We have to correct our perception in order to make it the truth. So we cannot operate in isolation. We have to operate with the laws of God. The facts about God, the facts about man, the facts about everything has to be a reflection of the perfection, the absolute perfection of God. And there's no other way to view anything accurately except as being a symbol of the perfection of God or its opposite. If we're viewing something that is evil, then we have to flip it. And we have to say the truth is perfect. This is a lie, so I'm going to deny that it is real or has any power over me or anyone else. And the truth that always is in control is its opposite. The opposite of error, which is not in control of anything except one's misconception. Mary Baker Eddy provided to her class in 1898, the final class of her metaphysical college, seven prayers which are entitled Diapason of Heaven. And one was for each of the seven synonymous terms. So she has one for mind and one for spirit and so forth. Before I recite one of them, you must remember that the first step in advancing your consciousness to the truth is to realize that you must have both the letter and the spirit in order to be successful. And by the spirit, Jesus was a great example, as was Mary Baker Eddy, of love. You can understand the letter and repeat words all day long and not get anywhere. Because the letter by itself does not bring healing. What brings healing is a combination of the letter and the spirit. And that's stated on page 330. She clearly says, to demonstrate divine metaphysics, you must live both the letter and the spirit. And one can describe what love is in one short phrase. Life of giving. And to have a life of giving, you must realize that your life you have now is insufficient to satisfy your desire, your fulfillment, your perception of something better than what you're experiencing now. You want something better. You don't even know how to get there, maybe. Although if you go to our website, we give you step-by-step instructions, as we do in these prayer treatment audios. It's easy to do it if you are willing to put aside a lifetime full of mistakes in your understanding. Because the human system rejects changes to what it believes to be true. And that's why the media plays such an important part in trying to deceive. If evil controls the mainstream media, then the population is tricked, deceived with decoys to believing evil to be real and truth to be unreal. And what do they do if they want to guide the thought of the population down the path of evil? They say the same thing over and over and over and over and over until the human mind is conditioned to believe something that is a total lie. That's why control of the media is so important for evil. If it doesn't have control of the media, it cannot change or control the thought process of the listeners. Over the last few years, on an increasing basis, and this most recent thrust has been since January of 2025, January 20th, as a matter of fact, and the population has been awakening, but it is a very slow process because it has been embedded with lies for 4 years, from January 20th, 2021 to January 20th, 2025. 4 years of nothing but lies. But the swamp is being drained, slowly but surely, because the human mind does not want to wake up quickly. It rejects changes that are the opposite of what it believed to be true. That's why when Richard Strain, who has become a popular speaker in churches, well, this is years ago, he was getting nowhere in his Christian Science progress. He was working 18 hours a day, so he only had 6 hours from when he got home until he had to leave, and during that time he needed to eat dinner and breakfast, prepare for sleeping, probably take a shower, maybe shave or whatever. Get up after he slept for a short time, prepare for the next day, and out the door. So finally he went to a Christian Science practitioner that he had trust in. And he told her the story that I just mentioned. This is all on our website, by the way. And he said, I don't know what to do. I'm not making any progress at work, and yet I'm working 18 hours a day. She had very few words to say, like Jesus. Jesus said, say yay yay or nay nay. Don't get in any long involved arguments or conversations. Don't be isolated from the truth, from God, from your standard. So she said, when do you study? That put him into shock. He only had one word to say. He couldn't lie to the practitioner. She would probably be able to detect it in a moment. So he said the truth. He said, never. Her response, if you don't study 5 hours a day, you will never make the progress you need to make to get out of the hole, the merry-go-round that you're in right now. And she didn't say another word. That was it. How much do you study? And if you don't study 5 hours a day, you're not going to make any progress. You see, the world of evil is always rotating. If one thing doesn't work, it'll try something else to deceive its subject, its object. So he had to decide what he was going to do. She didn't say anything. That's all she said. So he sat there probably consternating in his mind, his human brain, so-called, probably trying to figure out how in the world is he going to do this. I would have no time to sleep if I studied 5 out of my 6 hours. He finally said, okay, I'm going to do it. He didn't say, I'm going to think about it. I'll make a decision later. He said, I'm going to do it. He later reported that by the end of 1 week, everything had changed so much in his work schedule that he had no problem studying 5 hours a day. So I guess the first night he probably got no sleep. He probably came home from work, or maybe he did it before he went to work, and devoted 5 hours. And each day it got easier until by the end of a week, he had the 5 hours without a problem to study. So you need to make a decision. First of all, you have to decide, am I happy the way I am? Am I happy with my progress in life? My degree of satisfaction, my feeling of spiritual fulfillment? Or am I unhappy? So you have to understand that you are unhappy first. If you're not, then you're not ready to study. People that own businesses used to go to Bicknell Young. He was an excellent Christian Scientist. In fact, he raised himself from the dead. And they used to come to him for advice on how to solve. In fact, they wanted him to heal the problems they had in their business. He sent them away, most of them, because they did not know how to run their own business. And they thought that he was going to perform a miracle. They hadn't even bothered to learn how to run their own business, but they wanted Christian Science to solve it. Mary Baker Eddy said, the reason Jesus became so divine, which means perfect, in his human life, is because he took human life to the maximum degree of spirituality before he could step onto the bridge to be able to overcome the belief of death and then the belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, which enabled him to ascend, and then to come back and dictate the book of Revelation to St. John the Divine. So we have to, number one, be disgusted with the lack of fulfillment in our present life, and we have to begin cultivating a life of giving. Those are two prerequisites before we can even get started studying the system of divine metaphysics. And it states that on our website. Those are the first two steps. And then we tell you exactly what we recommend for proceeding in your study program. And as already mentioned, you must record everything you do. And if you lack confidence, then read that last 100 pages, or I guess it's 101, begins on 600 and ends on 700. Read the last 101 pages of 486 testimonies by 85 people, about 5.7 healings per individual. And then you can go back and resume your study. And you should study all 16 books that Mary Baker Eddy wrote and made publicly available. Anyway, we give you the complete procedure, and I don't want to go through it here because we have everything written down. All you have to do is utilize the discipline, and which you will do if you do the first two steps. So the complete process is outlined for you, and people like the expert Frederick L. Rossen and other ones, Joel Goldsmith, Wentworth Winslow, and Frederick L. Rossen all had 15-minute appointments. We don't have any evidence that they even knew each other. And there were a lot of years in between some of them. So Frederick L. Rossen left in the early 1920s. And we don't think that Wentworth Winslow was active that early. And Goldsmith, they all had 15-minute appointments. At the end of 15 minutes, the healing was complete. And I think 15 represents the seven synonymous terms for God, the four operators, and the four levels. So if you add that up, it comes up to 15 exactly. Now, I don't know, because I didn't see in writing from any of them that's how they came up with 15 minutes that they wanted to use for their appointment time, but all three of them did. And those are the only ones that I know of that actually put in writing how much time they devoted to each appointment. I will now select a Diapason of Heaven prayer treatment by Mary Baker Eddy, and I will recite it, and that will be the conclusion of this prayer treatment on the topic of communication, success dependent. Here is the Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy. Since we utilize our five senses of sight, hearing, feeling, smelling, and taste to communicate with others, it seems like one of the Diapason of Heaven treatments that lines up perfectly with the theme of this prayer treatment is soul, which is the five spiritual senses. So therefore, I will recite to you the Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy with a focus on soul, our spiritual senses. We must hold soul in consciousness only as a sacred name for God. We have to rise above the belief that soul is an invisible personality residing in a fleshly form with a personal identity. Soul must be recognized as a name for God and a name by which God is to be worshiped. We have to take the interpretation of soul as a personality out of subjective thought and replace it with the true sense. We should declare often, there is only one soul, and that is my infinite, incorporeal, supreme God. Soul is my God, and my God is soul. Amen. It is Saturday, August 16th, 2025. We express it as 250816, and it is 1310, which is 1:10 p.m. Thank you for listening. The end.